Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is Billy Easton, Executive Director of the Alliance for Quality Education, a coalition mobilizing communities across the state to keep New York true to its promise of ensuring a high-quality public education to all students, regardless of zip code. Welcome, Billy Easton.
Thanks for having me, Alan. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
Okay, so your group has been accused of being, a shill for the unions, is it?
No. We have in some years gotten funding from them, but it's hardly even remotely close to a majority of our funding.
Mm-hmm.
And we work together where there's common ground, but they don't tell us what to do. We have a very feisty and independent board that really has an agenda that's about equity for all kids and quality education for all kids.
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of yours, Billy. I'm not going to fool around about that and of the group, because I think that there are certain politicians in the state who have used the schools as whipping boys, thinking that they're going to get over with the, tax avoidance people who don't want to pay that much in taxes by attacking teachers, by attacking school systems and school boards and all the rest. Is that your impression?
I think it's absolutely the case. I think in particular, what you have is the Governor Cuomo has really used attacks on the schools as a straw man for a real agenda, which is driven by some of the wealthiest elites in the entire country, people who are really pulling the strings, I think, on Governor Cuomo's education agenda. And they're doing it because they don't want to pay a fair share of taxes, and they're, content then leaving students in under-resourced schools that, don't have all the things that students need for a 21st century education. They're doing it because they have other agenda items, too, like privatizing our schools, so there's a little more of a profit motive involved. And all of this is bad education policy, but the politicians, particularly the governor, have used attacks on schools as a way to justify neglecting our schools.
Well, he has a reputation, Governor Cuomo, as being a tough guy. Do you ever personally worry about the fact that, you have entered into an adversarial relationship with a guy who, takes no prisoners?
Well, he sees that sort of persona as good for his political standing, but I think it's bad for our schools and kids. So I can't sit there and worry too much about what he's thinking about me personally, if he even is thinking about me. But I think what's important here is that, it's not just about the governor. It's about the people who are pulling his strings. It's people like Paul Tudor Jones, who, made his wealth when the economy crashed in 1987, the guy is rich beyond imagination. People like Ken Langone, who's another one of these masters of the universe, who, thinks that people who think there's a problem with income inequality remind him of Hitler. These types of super wealthy elites, they are not the 1%, they're the 1% of the 1%. They're financing the governor's political campaigns, they're working with him, as they were financing the Senate Republicans' reelections, and they're pushing this agenda, which is very damaging for our schools, which is about starving our public schools and then using charter schools, privately run charter schools, as a way to push up privatization and opportunities for profit.
So is what you're saying here, I just want to get this straight, that there's a political agenda here, which is that you come out against the public schools and you pro-charter schools, and many of these charter schools, of course, have very wealthy people behind them. They take it on. Do you think that that's what motivates him?
I think that what motivates the governor, from my observations, it's about political power. It's
mm-hmm.
about what he has to do to, try to hold control of the levers of political power. And I think that he has decided that these super wealthy elites like Paul Tudor Jones and Ken Langone, who can provide a lot of money for his political agenda, are allies that he wants. and they are more important to him as political allies than, for instance, you know, our public school children don't have those kind of wealthy allies who can, you know, provide the $10 million that was spent on lobbying and political donations by these guys last year. You know, so I think it's more for the governor about what he sees as his political self-interest. Unfortunately, it's not really in the interest of our school children.
Well, he just really got a lot of attention when he said education was the last monopoly. What did he mean by that?
Well, that was a very outrageous comment when he said that our schools are a public monopoly and he's going to bust them up. You know, our public schools are a core democratic institution. They are the key for helping young people fully participate in the economy and in democracy and for changing inequality. So, again, I think he's using the taglines that these elite puppeteers are pushing to call our public schools a monopoly. Justifies an agenda which he's already been pushing, which is about starving public education because he doesn't want to spend the money. He doesn't want to tax his wealthy campaign backers, so he doesn't want to then spend the money to invest in our public schools. He's pushing more testing, you know, because that's another part of their agenda. And then he wants to carry another part of their agenda, which is the privatization of a large sector of our public schools more and more, where there's profit opportunities off the public dollar without regard for what happens in our traditional public schools. So it's a symbol, public monopoly. He's going to bust them up for a larger and really damaging political agenda that's really bad for our kids.
Now, the governor, he won, of course, and he won comfortably in this election against Rob Astorino. However, I wonder if his sense of things on education have hurt him because, you know, I think he got a million votes less in this election than he did the last time.
He got a million votes less this time than the last time, and he got less votes for any candidate for governor, any winning candidate for governor since Franklin Delano Roosevelt was elected governor when there were 7 million less New Yorkers. So this is a record low turnout. The governor is not inspiring people. I think there's no doubt that his education agenda is hurting him. And it's hurting him not only from a lot of angles. It's hurting him from people who have a progressive view of the world and believe, you know, strongly in opportunity for all. And, you know, investing in every student's opportunity for a quality education. It's hurting people who, you know, regardless of their political view, are fed up with the Common Core and all the testing that's going on because the governor's pushed more and more reliance on standardized testing. It's hurting him with everyday people who see arts and music being cut in their children's schools, see career and technical education and college prep courses being cut in their children's schools. And the governor just ignores it and keeps, you know, dismissing it. So I think he did very poorly among people who are voting based on our public schools.
We keep hearing about Bill de Blasio championed pre-K. The governor allegedly said, you know, okay, I'll give you your pre-K. Are we getting it?
Well, outside New York City, primarily what four-year-olds got was a promise that maybe their younger brothers and sisters might have pre-K, because de Blasio did succeed in getting the legislature to deliver money for pre-K in New York City. But outside the city, the governor funded a small sliver of the kids in the state that need pre-K. No more than 4% got the funding that was necessary. So he called it universal, but 4%. In my math class when I was growing up, didn't approach universal.
Well, Billy Easton, how does he get away with that?
You know, that really comes down to all of us and what all of us as New Yorkers are going to do about it. You know, people have to speak out and demand that the governor delivers on the promise. You know, a promise is a good first step, but if he doesn't back it up and deliver, it's empty words. So this is one area where we're hoping the governor will come through and deliver on what he said he was going to do. And actually make pre-K happen. We're certainly going to be out there, and I think a lot of people are going to be out there demanding that he does deliver on pre-K for every four-year-old in New York State.
Now, Billy Easton, we hear that there's going to be a mass exodus from the governor's office. I've been told by people in the know about that. A lot of people are going to finish their tour, as my Aunt Ruth used to say, and they're going to go and make some money as a result of this. Are there key players in the governor's operation we should be keeping our eye on in terms of education and educational policy?
Well, frankly, when it comes to education policy, I think it's the governor who's the key player. The governor and these people who are not in his administration, these Wall Street elites who are funding his campaign and funding political support for his agenda, people like Ken Langone, like Dan Loeb, like Paul Tudor Jones, like Paul Singer, who are pushing this agenda the governor has embraced. So I think it's the governor himself who's the one. You know, he has made it very clear that he's thrown his political lot in with people who are carrying an anti-public education agenda. His comment that our schools are a monopoly, couldn't have made it clearer where he stands with his own political agenda when it comes to our schools. So as long as the governor's there, you know, unless something happens that causes him to exit, I think that that we know what the agenda's going to be. And it's really that people have to stand up to it. If people don't stand up for our public schools, the governor's made clear where he's planning to go.
Common Core, you know, big bugaboo. Everybody talks about the Common Core. It's just propaganda 101. You say it again and again and again. People who know nothing about it say, oh, that's terrible, Common Core. Is it terrible?
Well, you know, I think the idea of the Common Core is a good idea. The idea that we're going to have a high-quality curriculum in every school to help students, learn the things they need to learn in today's society and focus on higher order learning. Those are all the right ideas. I think the implementation has been terribly botched. For one thing, they focused more on the testing than the actual education of the students and improving the quality of curriculum. So what's happened is more testing and more high stakes consequences tied to that testing has really turned people off. And basically, I think they've poisoned the well in New York on the whole idea of the Common Core based on the way it was rolled out. And while the State Education Department obviously holds a large share of the responsibility, at the same time, our elected officials do as well. It's their job to provide the necessary leadership.
So I don't fully get that. We set up a Common Core, and we say, okay, these are the things a kid has to know. Now we're going to test you on that. Go and teach them the right way. Why isn't that a good idea?
Well, we sort of skipped over the parts of helping make sure that schools had the curriculum in place necessary. We skipped over the part of making sure that teachers were trained and prepared to do it. And then we added on a lot of testing, not just from the Common Core, but also from the new teacher evaluation system, which really the main thing that came down for students was that this was more testing, and these tests had severe consequences for their schools and teachers. And that's what mostly the takeaway was for parents and students, which is why you see so many people opting out of these tests, and that's going to just keep growing and keep growing. You know, they got to take a break, step back. The goal was right. The implementation has been totally messed up, and people are not going to stop resisting it just because they keep trying the same things over and over.
Look, Billy Easton, I think you and your group are on the side of the gods. I do. But I want to ask you this. Do you have major political allies who are willing to get in the face of, you know, the take-no-prisoners governor? I mean, for example, in the Assembly, for example, in the Senate. Or are these people just saying, I don't want any trouble with this guy?
Well, you know, last year, or earlier this year, I mean, before the governor put his budget out, there were 85 members of the legislature who signed on to a letter to the governor demanding a $2 billion school aid increase in his budget, or a $1.9 billion school aid increase. And they stuck with it. People like Kathy Nolan, who's the education chair of the state assembly, people like Pat Fahey from Albany, people like Jeff Aubrey from New York City, a number of legislators. And, you know, I'm not going to describe what their position is as far as how they analyze the governor, but they are on, when it came to education, they were very clear that they had to stand up for our schools and stand up to everybody in Albany on that. And that was a starting point. They didn't stop fighting. The governor proposed a $600 million school aid increase. It got almost doubled to $1.1 billion, plus pre-K money for New York City. So it was a very significant victory to get that funding increase. It could not have happened without the strong support across any people in the legislature.
Now, what's the relationship between the regents, which is, after all, they are elected basically by the Assembly, you know, but really by both houses, but the Assembly has more votes, and they, therefore, under the law of, you know, oligarchy, you know, you have the speaker being responsible for who they are. Merrill Tisch is the chair, but there has been some bad blood in the past, hasn't there, between the governor's education people and the state education commissioner. So what is that looking like for all of us who need to be tutored, in the way in educational politics works in New York State?
Well, you know, we don't agree with everything the Board of Regents have done. You know, we think they've really messed up the implementation of the Common Core, for instance. We do agree with some things they've done. They've spoken out for more fair and adequate funding for our schools. And Merrill Tisch recently had an op-ed pointing out that the schools need funding to serve immigrant students who are, you know, coming in without their families in large numbers in some parts of the state. The relationship is that I think the governor would like to have more control over our schools. And there are people who are frustrated with the Board of Regents because of the Common Core who might think that sounds attractive. But in fact, it's good to have the check and balance because if you have the governor having the control over the State Department of Education like he does over, say, the Department of Transportation, then a single governor can come in and dictate major focus of state policy. So the governor wants to bust up our public schools because he thinks they're a monopoly and he wants to go with more privatization through charter schools. Well, if the governor controlled the state education department, he'd be able to do a lot more of that and circumvent the legislature.
Well, in New York City, Billy Easton, the mayor got control over the schools. Is that the way it's worked?
There's been a lot of problems under, you know, the Mayor Bloomberg. There were a lot of problems with mayoral control, and parents have been shut out of the process. I think that having structural reforms into the New York City mayoral control system so that parents have a real voice is very important. And so that there's been a lot of problems with that type of an approach. It's one of these situations where we can, you know, point to the frustrations of dealing with the Board of Regents. I can certainly share some of those. But I think that we want that check and balance. We need a check and balance. It's not under the state constitution, the State Department of Education is an independent agency. It's not part of the executive branch of our government.
That's because they didn't want the politicians mucking around. I said mucking
right.
around with us, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so I know that your group, the Alliance for Quality Education, has developed a platform for student success. What's in it?
Mm-hmm. Well, number one, it starts with pre-K. Every kid, every four-year-old, and ultimately someday every three-year-old should have access to full-day pre-K. It makes a tremendous difference in children's education. Number two, when students get to school, they should have a high-quality curriculum that's really geared to their full needs. That includes the arts, it includes music, but also includes high-quality academic courses that will prepare students for college. You know, you have this huge disparity in opportunity between wealthy and poor districts in terms of the types of curriculum that's available. In wealthy districts, they have advanced placement Chinese, and in poor districts, they're lucky if they have any advanced placement courses at all. So you need a high quality curriculum. Number three, you need a focus on high quality teaching, and that the research is very clear on what works for that. That is, collaborative practices between teachers. All of this stuff about, you know, evaluating teachers based on test scores is actually damaging to our public schools and our school children. So high-quality teaching based on collaboration and support. You need social and emotional supports for students, guidance counselors, social workers, even health services. If a child is coming from a poor family and they come to school and they don't have eyeglasses but they can't see the paper, they're never going to learn to read. So having eye clinics or eye services, glass services available within schools, health services, and social and emotional supports, counseling, all of this is critical to student success. And then having a good climate in the school, which is supportive of students, teachers, and everyone, and is designed to keep students in school. These are, you know, core elements to the successful education of every child.
Now, Billy Easton, there's been a lot of talk about the quality of teachers who get into the classroom based on the failure of schools of education to do it right. Do you agree with that?
Well, you know, I think that we certainly should expect more of our schools of education, you know, but we also could do a much better job as a state in supporting teachers once they're in the classroom. You know, the research actually shows there's a lot of this is you know, sort of teacher bashing is part of this political agenda that, again, these same, you know, Wall Street elites that are funding the governor, they're pushing this sort of teacher bashing agenda, and a lot of it is it's all designed by people who have no experience in education.
Yeah. But if you have a bad teacher, why shouldn't you just fire the bad teacher?
Well, you know, if you have a bad teacher, we should get rid of them. But the question of, you know, who's making that judgment, and you want to make sure that the judgment's not being made based on
politics,
based on politics and favoritism. But also, you should focus on what actually we're focusing on. The wrong problem. The primary problem is not the small number of teachers who are failing. The bigger problem is we're not doing enough to support the teachers who are doing a good job but struggling, you know, because they're new to the profession, and helping people, support people to succeed. That's actually what the research shows works. If you actually focus in on building up the strengths of teachers, you know, that is what's going to improve the quality of teaching across the board.
So the outlook, Billy Easton, is healthy, or are you getting dispirited?
Well, I'm not dispirited, because I believe in the strength of New Yorkers and in the human spirit, of people's ability to, you know, stand up for what's important. But I do want to sound the bell of alarm here. You know, I think we are headed into a very different year than we've ever seen in New York State. Never before have we seen a politically connected Wall Street elite who have just spent $10 million in the last year in political donations and lobbying and are ready to spend the same amount this year, who are trying to control the future of education, who don't want to pay taxes to fund all those things I talked about that our schools need. Our kids in poor communities in particular, and increasingly middle-class communities, aren't getting those things. That costs money. They don't want to fund that. They want to privatize education and create opportunities for profit. And the governor is they're pulling his strings, and he seems ready to do their bidding. So this is the year that people have to stand up and draw a line. We need our elected officials. We need everyday New Yorkers, our parents, students, principals, school administrators to all stand up and draw a line and say, no, this is a very serious threat this year.
We only have a minute, but I wanted to ask you, and you only have a half a minute to answer it. We passed a bond issue for education financing in New York, but that on top of the governor who says, you know, you can't raise taxes in communities through a number of devices. So is it a phony?
I mean, I think the bond issue was by and large an effort by the governor to be able to say the message point of I'm funding schools, even though in fact it's a bond issue. It's not the money that's part of the budget that he has a direct say over.
And by the time the 30 years are over, a lot of interest, and he'll be gone.
He'll be long gone by then.
I don't want to be too cynical about it. Anyway, Billy Easton is the executive director of the Alliance for Quality Education. Billy, it's always a pleasure to have you with us, and we look forward to the next time you join us.
Thank you very much, Alan.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.